How long have you been covering the Saints?
I came to the Times-Picayune in 1999 to cover LSU athletics and lived in Baton Rouge in 99. And after one football season, they made a changeover that year. There was a lot of turmoil in the local football business. So that was Binka's last year. And when he got let go, they decided to make some changes on the staff of the Saints beat and asked me if I'd like to cover the Saints. So I'd have to move to New Orleans, of course, which was a upgrade.
Right, exactly. Major upgrade from Baton Rouge.
So I moved to New Orleans over the beat right when Jim Haslett got hired and Randy Mueller, that whole regime. So it was kind of good because it was a fresh start, all fresh reporters on the beat and fresh, football personnel to deal with. And so it's been since 2000.
Your book is amazing. You really put a lot of time and care into it.
Yeah, it was a labor of love. I started on it back in 2006 when it looked like the Saints might make the Super Bowl that season, and a lot of interest from national publishers doing a book if they made it to the Super Bowl, and of course they fell one step short. And so I thought, well, that doesn't end the dream of doing a book on this story, because when they do win a Super Bowl, it's still going to be a valid story with Katrina and the impact, the social and civic impact that it had. And so it was a one-year project, just became a four-year project. And anybody that watched the organization back in 2006 could see, they were putting the pieces together. They were short of being a championship team back then, but you had to have, I think, confidence in Sean Payton and Drew Brees that they were eventually going to get there. And I know there were some dark moments in those 7 or 8. People might have lost a little confidence in them, but Drew Brees is clearly a Super Bowl caliber quarterback, so it was just a matter of time, I thought, till they won this thing. And when they did, I knew it was going to be, one of the biggest stories in sports, obviously one of the biggest stories in the history of New Orleans. You could see there's something, say, magical, but maybe so. I mean, what was going on with the city and the team, post-Katrina dynamic that we all live and experience on a daily basis here, really became magnified at Superdome on Sundays during games. I consider the Saints to be just one of the great civic institutions that everybody in New Orleans post-Katrina grasped onto. People were scared. They'd read so many obituaries on the city of New Orleans after the storm that said New Orleans was never going to be the same, that it might, in fact, die as a city. And I think that shook people to the core, and they, in turn, rallied around the things that made their lives so special in New Orleans, and the Saints were part of that. They were no different than Mardi Gras or Jazz Fest or, Commander's Palace or any institution of this unique culture we have down here, and they rallied to support the team in unprecedented levels. And to me, that really is the root of the story. It all started with the fans and the people embracing the team when really there wasn't a reason to embrace them. Back in 2006, before the season, nobody knew who Sean Payton was. Drew Brees hadn't even been signed yet. Reggie Bush hadn't been drafted. He had an owner that Frank was looking to leave. And, I just think that there was no reason for the fans to rally behind this team, and they did. And in turn, the team embraced them back, and that really is what's kind of going on here. There's been this symbiotic relationship with the fans and the team, and I think it's been unique in sports, and it only could happen here because of what went on during Katrina and the unique culture and history in New Orleans that makes it such a unique city. All those things kind of converged together in the last 4 years and really came to fruition last year. I'm not from New Orleans. I've lived here now a decade. It's what I consider to be home. I can't imagine living anyplace else. It's such a fascinating place to live, and one of the main reasons is because of its unique character and the charm and the history. Everything that goes into the city, when you really take the time to appreciate it and learn about its history, you start to understand it more. When you first moved to New Orleans, just like most people, you're like, what have I done? This is a banana republic. It's such a different place. It takes a while to really grasp everything that makes up this city. Once you realize that, the reason you're taking a Louisiana left, the reason these neutral grounds are there, and it's causing you to have to go 2 or 3, blocks down to take your left because you can't do it in an intersection. The reason that's so frustrating when you first move here, and then you learn to appreciate later on, is because the city's so old. And you realize, that the tracks were laid out hundreds of years ago, and so it's not like other cities. And those are the kind of things when you first move, you think it doesn't fit in with the rest of America. Well, it doesn't, and it doesn't want to fit in with the rest. New Orleanians love to talk about themselves and celebrate themselves. No city celebrates itself more than New Orleans. And last year, I think we saw that kind of, boil over when the Super Bowl happened. I don't think anybody celebrated a championship like the city of New Orleans. And I've always contended that it's the only city where when the Saints won the Super Bowl, just as many people wanted to be back at New Orleans celebrating as they did
in Miami.
They did be at the game in Miami. And to me, that's why the book, the way I chose to write the book was about the city and the people and the fans, because that was as much a part of the story as Drew Brees and Sean Payton. And we saw that on Sunday night, a Super Bowl Sunday, that the scenes from the French Quarter were just, so compelling, so captivating. I don't think anybody's ever had a celebration like that.
It was just that pure madness. It was just that pure joy.
Unbridled. And it was like that in the Superdome after the NFC Championship game.
Uh-huh.
Everybody stayed in their seats. Our editorial page columnist, Jarvis DeBerry, he called it a communal catharsis, and I think that was a perfect way to put it. That's what it was. Everybody in the city, I think, came together on that day and celebrated. And I've always contended that the NFC Championship game was as important, if not more important, than the Super Bowl to a lot of people, because it got them validated. It validated all those years of suffering and losing and put it in the spotlight where they'd never been before. Now, if they would have lost the Super Bowl, certainly fans would have been disappointed.
Right.
But they wouldn't have been crushed, and they wouldn't have been devastated. If they would have lost the NFC Championship game, I think that would have been devastating.
It was a much more New Orleans experience.
Yeah, there was just much more pressure on the team. I felt like, really, that game, I felt like Sean Payton coached it kind of tight. I thought the team kind of played a little tight. That was very unlike them, And when they got to the Super Bowl, I felt like they just let it all loose. I mean, they did the onside kick. They kind of were playing with house money at that point, and I really felt strongly they were going to win that game. I was one of the few people I can still remember being in the media room at the Super Bowl that week, and the Indianapolis Star reporters were taking predictions for the game. And they came over to our work area, and I picked the Saints, and he told me I was one of two people of 28 that were picking the Saints. And I was dumbfounded, because I thought that game was dead even. If anything, I felt like the Saints had an intangible edge of the underdog, but I thought it was a dead even game. I was surprised so many people were picking the Colts. But the Saints were 13-0 at one point. I mean, they've been 7 teams in NFL history, and they weren't just 13-0. They were really killing a lot of teams. I mean, they killed the New England Patriots, a good team. They crushed the New York Giants. They were winning by double digits.
I love the way in the book you focus on the people and the city, and like you tie the Saints as a thread all the way through it,
Yeah, it works well because the narrative based around the city and what the people were going through in the city at the same time as the football team, there's a couple of things that work for that, and that is that the Katrina anniversaries, which we talk about, the one-year anniversary, where the city that 2 years later, where the city that 3 years later, ties in chronologically with the start of the football season. August 29th, obviously, is the Katrina anniversary, so it tied in well. Okay, here's where the Saints are as they begin camp this year, and here's where the city's at. And, I just felt like that was a perfect way to do it. Here's what the people are putting up with in the city. Here's what the fans of the Saints are putting up with. Here's where the rebuilding of the football team is at. Here's where they've made improvements. Here's where the rebuilding of the city is at these different chronological mile markers. And so I thought it worked really well. And in many ways, I didn't go into it with this idea, but as I got along in the research and the documentation of the book, you could see where they really mirrored each other. In 2006, there was a lot of what I consider to be false optimism with the Saints. They had that miracle year, but they really weren't that good. And that became apparent in the NFC Championship game when they got beat by the Bears. They really needed a lot of work to rebuild their defense and make them to a championship caliber defense. So there was a little bit of false hope that year, and the reality set in. And I think the same thing was going on in the city. People came back after Katrina. They'd heard all these devastating stories of the devastation. And then they got back and they saw that their houses were still standing and everything was somewhat, intact. And they got all this FEMA money, they got this insurance money, and there was a little bit of a honeymoon period where people thought, boy, this is going to be okay. We're going to make it. And then the reality set in 2007 and 2008, not only with the football team, but also with the city's recovery, that this was going to be a long process. It was going to take some time. And I think it was pretty sobering for people. And I think that was kind of the nadir of the recovery about 2008. And, Ray Nagin had kind of checked out as mayor. And it was a depressing time. And then I think some optimism started to boil up in 2009, especially with the team. They went out and got Greg Williams and bolstered their secondary with Malcolm Jenkins and Darren Sharpe and Jabari Greer. People started seeing optimism there on the football field. field, and then the optimism was born in the city, and that Ray Nagin's term was about over, and Andrew was going to run for mayor. And so I just think these things all kind of coincided, almost eerily, and then it all came together last year, you know, the fact that Mitch Landrieu was elected to office the day before the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, what a weekend for the city.
Couldn't even make up all this stuff lining up.
Yeah, exactly. That's what made it such a magical story, and that's why, you know, Drew Brees is named the Sportsman of the Year for Sports Illustrated.
Right.
I mean, it's much about New Orleans, that award, as it was Drew. That's why my colleagues from the Washington Post and New York Times and Los Angeles Times spent so much time in New Orleans last year. It's why it became, you know, one of the best sports stories of the last decade, maybe the last, you know, couple of decades. It just doesn't happen like that in sports. And it was an incredible story. It was basically the Chicago Cubs winning the World Series 4 years after the Chicago Fire, doing the same kind of storyline. Saints were just a symbol of the city, a symbol of the recovery. They were part of the recovery, part of the storyline, but they became something much greater as they went along because they gave people, you know, something to believe in at a time when they really had not a lot of positive news going on. And I think that fueled the city, and in turn, I think the city's passion and support and drive, you know, motivated the Saints. It gave them something to play for on Sunday. But I've written numerous times in the Times-Picayune that, you know, the Saints, their opponents are playing a football game and the Saints are waging a crusade. I really believe that. They're playing for so much more than just a paycheck. And I know it sounds, you know, hokey and maybe idealistic in this day and age, but if you talk to the players, they truly believe it. At least last year, they definitely bought into that. Even an edge, I think, on Sundays that their opponents didn't have.
Do you think all the players were, like, on the same page?
Oh, there's no question. I mean, it's part of what Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton sell to free agents and to rookies when they come in. They let them know, you're going to be a part of this community. This is not like every other team in pro sports or every other team in the NFL. We are, you know, much more involved, and we embrace this community, and it's going to be part of your job to go out and be a part of it. And they make it clear early on. So I think that's something that you have to acknowledge and give credit to the organization for doing that, because that was not the case before Katrina. I can tell you this was not a very fan-friendly organization. It wasn't very customer-oriented, and they certainly got the word quickly after they came back that they couldn't continue business as usual here. It was going to be a completely different paradigm and a different business model for them, and I think they've adapted quickly. In many ways, they were a startup organization when they came back, and you have to give them credit for acknowledging that, and they certainly had to do it to make it work, and I think it's worked out better than anybody, the league, or the Saints ever imagined.
In your chapter on the Saints' Muslim movement to Texas, how were you able to get so much insider info on that?
Well, you know, I obviously have a lot of colleagues that work in the business, and the San Antonio Express News really reported that story very well. They had sources in San Antonio that were into those discussions with the New Orleans Saints, and they did a great job of reporting. A lot of this stuff got reported back when it happened, but I just don't think New Orleanians or Saints fans were paying much attention to it because they were, frankly, had bigger priorities. They were digging out from under the rubble. They were draining out their homes, worried about the city's future and about their own financial future, and, you know, they had to get their kids in school. And it's just such a chaotic time, so much uncertainty, that people really had their attention elsewhere. And I don't think they really knew what was going on over in San Antonio. And that's why, if you go back and do the research like I did, it was amazing how much got reported back then, but people just don't realize it. So I was able to lean on those sources and then do some of my own reporting as well. And I've got plenty of sources, you know, in the Saints organization, either currently or people that were there during that time that have left the organization that are freer to talk. It's still a very sensitive subject. I mean, there's still what I consider to be a lot of revisionist history going on, where the Saints are trying to rewrite history and their role in the San Antonio situation. You know, it reminds me of Michael Brown and FEMA and how he's trying to rewrite his legacy during Katrina. They're trying to rewrite what happened, and I felt a responsibility to accurately document what happened, because I think that was a big part of the story. That's where the roots of this dynamic began. It traces back to that season leading up to Katrina and during the Katrina season, where people, it just changed their perception of the organization and what had to be done to keep the team here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just think that was critical. And it's part of the book that, you know, kind of vaults forward into this Super Bowl celebration and the Super Bowl run, but it all is rooted in that season. And that's something that, frankly, Sean Payton and Drew Brees really couldn't write authoritatively about because they weren't here. They've done a great job at being ambassadors and representatives of the city and organization and doing a lot of great work for Katrina and understanding it as best they can. They really weren't here in the organization to know how all that affected not only the organization, but more importantly, the fan and the city of New Orleans. So I think that was vital to have that as part of the book. I felt like the sad part of it and the thing that people will not forget Tom Benson for, and and probably, you know, at some point should forgive him, but I can understand why they wouldn't, is, you know, basically leading up to the 2005 season, if you remember, the Saints always had a marketing slogan for each year, each campaign, and their slogan that year was faith, and you still see those bumper stickers around New Orleans, a black bumper sticker, and just has the word in gold, faith, cross letters, and inside the A, it has a little fleur-de-lis. And so the point of that was, you know, they're asking Saints fans to have faith in the organization that they're going to finally win. So they asked that four decades of people, and for four decades they got a return. People gave faith in the organization. People were faithfully supporting and loyal to the organization, and yet didn't get a lot of return on their investment. But and then as soon as the city and the fans needed the organization to have faith in them, they turned their back on them. And I think that is what's so disappointing about the actions of Tom Benton at that time and the organization was, when there was reason for them to doubt New Orleans. There's no question. There's a lot of uncertainty. But to not give the city a chance, turn your back and to stay in San Antonio without giving New Orleans a chance to prove they could support the team, I think was almost criminal. And thank goodness for Paul Tagliabue's leadership and vision. He steered the team back here. I don't think the team ever really was close to leaving, because I don't think the league was ever going to allow it to happen. But their intentions were clear, and if you read that chapter in the book, it's pretty well documented that their actions were speaking louder than their words at that time. And people in San Antonio will tell you that the behind-the-scenes discussions were quite serious from the Saints. So I don't see how they can sit around now and try to revise their history, because I think it's pretty clear what their intentions were. It's important, I think. I mean, very important that people remember that, because I think, and for history's purposes, it's probably never going to be, we're never going to revisit that chapter again, I don't think. So it's important to document it at this time for history. That's what we do in journalism. It's important to be accurate and to tell the story the way it should be told.